Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown where we dive deep into the numbers that move markets. I'm Alex, and I'm joined as always by my co-host Jordan. Today we're breaking down Vertex Pharmaceuticals' first quarter 2026 earnings call, and wow, Jordan, this was packed with updates.
Absolutely, Alex. But before we jump in, let me get our mandatory disclaimer out of the way. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks, Jordan. Now, let's talk Vertex. This biotech giant just delivered some impressive numbers: $299 billion in total revenue for first quarter, representing 8% growth year-over-year. But what really caught my attention was how they're diversifying beyond their cystic fibrosis cash cow.
Right, and that diversification story is really the headline here. CEO Reshma Kewalramani emphasized that their newer products, Casgevy and Gurnavix, drove about 25% of their total revenue growth. That's a company successfully expanding its footprint beyond a single therapeutic area.
Let's break down those newer products. Casgevy, their gene editing therapy, brought in $43 million in first quarter revenue, with over 500 patients now having started treatment. Then there's Journavx for pain management at $29 million in revenue. But the real excitement seems to be around their renal pipeline, particularly something called povetacicept, or POVI.
Oh, the POVI data was genuinely impressive, Alex. They just completed what Kewalramani called their fastest regulatory submission in company history, 27 days from database lock to filing. The phase III interim results for IgA nephropathy showed a 52% reduction in proteinuria, which is a key marker doctors watch. Kewalramani described the results as sparkling from top to bottom.
And they're not stopping there with renal disease. They're positioning this as potentially their fourth major franchise alongside CF, blood disorders, and pain. The addressable patient population across their renal programs could be in the hundreds of thousands when you add up all the different kidney diseases they're targeting.
What I found interesting in the Q&A was when analyst Jessica Faye asked about renal potentially rivaling their CF business in size. Kewalramani didn't shy away from that comparison. She pointed out that while each kidney disease is rare, there are common rare diseases. IgA nephropathy alone affects about 150,000 patients in North America and Europe.
The numbers definitely support the growth story. Non-GAAP earnings per share came in at $4.47, up from $4.06 the previous year. They're managing expenses well while investing heavily in these new areas. SG&A expenses were up 30% year-over-year, but that's driven by commercial investments in pain and renal programs.
Speaking of investments, they spent about $344 million buying back shares in first quarter, showing they're returning cash to shareholders while still funding growth. They ended the quarter with $13 billion in cash and investments, so they've got plenty of firepower.
Now, it wasn't all good news. They had to discontinue their VX-522 program for CF patients who can't benefit from their current modulators. Kewalramani explained they couldn't overcome tolerability issues related to lung inflammation, likely from the delivery mechanism.
That's about 5,000 patients who still can't be helped by Vertex's current CF portfolio. But Kewalramani was adamant they're not giving up on this population. She said their commitment to CF is absolute and steadfast, and they'll go back to the drawing board on delivery methods.
Let's talk guidance. They're sticking with their full-year revenue guidance of $12.95 to $13.10 billion, representing 8%-9% growth. They're particularly confident about hitting $500 million or more from non-CF products, with good visibility into Casgevy, given the lengthy patient treatment journey.
One thing that stood out was the competitive positioning discussion around POVI. When asked about overcoming first-mover advantage by competitors, commercial head Duncan McKechnie emphasized their trifecta superior efficacy, good tolerability, and patient-friendly monthly dosing via auto-injector versus competitors' weekly dosing.
The market research backing that up was compelling too. 8 times more patients preferred monthly versus weekly dosing. That's the kind of detail that can make a real difference in commercial success.
Looking at their CF franchise, it's remarkable how dominant they've become. McKechnie mentioned that essentially all new CF patients are starting on Alyftrek, their newest therapy, rather than the older Trikafta. Alyftrek just crossed $1 billion in cumulative revenue.
But here's what's interesting about their next-generation CF programs. Kuwal Ramani was refreshingly honest about how tough it is to improve on Alyftrek. She said 90% of patients achieve the key sweat chloride threshold and 2/3 reach normal levels with once-daily dosing. That's setting a high bar for any follow-on therapies.
The pain franchise with Gernavix is showing steady progress, too. Over 350,000 prescriptions in first quarter compared to 550,000 for all of 2025. They're expanding payer coverage and just doubled their sales force to 300 reps. McKechnie expects to triple 2025 prescription volumes.
As we look ahead, the key catalysts seem to be the POVI launch in IgA nephropathy, continued ramp in Casgevy and Gernavix, and data readouts from their other renal programs. The Amplified study results for their APOL1 program should come in the second half of this year.
What impressed me was the execution speed. From announcing interim analysis results to regulatory filing in under a month shows this management team can move fast when they have winning data. That bodes well for commercial launches.
So, what's the investment thesis here? You've got a company successfully diversifying from a single franchise into multiple therapeutic areas, with strong cash generation, disciplined capital allocation, and a pipeline that could drive growth for years.
The risks are typical biotech risks: clinical trial failures, competitive pressure, regulatory delays. But Vertex has shown they can execute across different disease areas, and their balance sheet gives them flexibility to invest and weather setbacks.
Before we wrap up, Jordan, any final thoughts on what investors should be watching?
I'd watch the POVI launch trajectory closely. That could validate their renal strategy. Also, the normalization of Gernavix gross-to-net margins as payer coverage improves, and keep an eye on their next-generation CF programs to see if they can actually improve on an already excellent therapy.
Great points. This earnings call showed a company hitting its stride operationally while building multiple growth drivers. Execution will be key, but they've got the resources and track record to pull it off.
Just remember, everything we've discussed today is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence before making any investment decisions.
That's all for today's episode of Beta Finch. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time when we break down another earnings call that's moving the markets. That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.